Good afternoon, Brendan.
Aloha, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast up for episode 134, the final episode in March. Hooray! And it's not April Fool's Day, or it might be
It
April
probably will
1st. It might be April 1st, but we don't do April Fool's stuff. It's really not a thing.
The joke is that we got you to listen to a podcast. Ah, it's been an elaborate plan.
Really long game there.
We're making all this up. April Fools! Except for the news parts, those are actually, that's real stuff happening.
Especially the stuff about the police, which we haven't featured on the show recently or for at least the last couple of weeks. But, fuck the police. Again, I'm sorry to again bring our this topic back into the forefront, especially because it's about my hometown, San Francisco. But San Francisco police and jail deputies, I'm not exactly sure how that works out. They're members of the sheriff's department, but they work in a jail. I don't know. But in any case,
Well, it's county jail is run by the county sheriffs, so that makes sense.
okay, all right. So the San Francisco jails, I don't know if it's a lot of them. I don't know if it's just one of them, but some inmates were able to speak up and then expose a thing that was happening in one of the jails, which is deputies would kind of intimidate new inductees to the jail, which is not uncommon, unfortunately. It's something that appears to happen, just as a matter of course. But in this case specifically, they were intimidating them to the point where they said, "If you don't participate in fights where we match you up with other inmates and have you fight, you'll have a lot more and a lot worse done to you." And it became the kind of thing where there would be fights, staged or not staged, actually set up fights in jails of inmates. And not only that, the officers involved would wager on the outcome of said fights. So they had a lot of skin in the game, as it were. And this was exposed, I believe, just last week. The inmates did their best, apparently, when working with their lawyers in order to try and get everybody, or at least delay it until everybody who was participating in those fights out of jail, or at least out of whatever part of the jail was connected to these fights. But it's still kind of happening. Like there was a note in the story, kind of ominously, but there's a fight scheduled for next week. It's like, it's obviously still happening. Super bad situation happening in San Francisco in jails. Another reason to be kind of suspect of what's going on, and maybe have a little more oversight and accountability. Again, accountability is a thing. Still talking about that in 2015.
Yeah, staging gladiator fights in a prison in the 21st century is not a thing. Not that it ever should have been a thing, but it has been in previous centuries.
So hopefully that gets set and resolved in a reasonable way that doesn't involve any more inmate fighting. Sure, that's not appreciated by many parties involved, but yeah, it's one of those things that we'd rather not be things on the podcast. So hopefully more again, more oversight and more accountability for all of that situation. Kind of
More
moving.
smarter, less dickish people being cops.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to kind of look at that and fix that, and hopefully they implement at least one.
Yeah, one or the other at a minimum.
Yeah. Looking at kind of a story of different options and different ways of doing things, there was an interesting note this week about a movement to change the face of American money. I know we've talked about that in the past, most notably when we were talking about Norwegian money, and I believe we had Jürgen on, and we were talking about how they had designed new fronts and backs for a bunch of bills, and we're changing things around. Norway doesn't use the euro, so they're able to change their money pretty much whenever they want, and that's kind of interesting. And it was the kind of thing where we talked about money in the United States and how it's just frankly so boring and really not changeable. They don't change a lot of things. I mean, I know that they've changed the $100 bill supposedly to add like a bunch of different things to it. I don't see $100 bills in my daily excursions, so I've take your word for it. But there have been some changes, right? The face of the on the bill, they've changed the size of that and kind of moved it off center for some of the bills, and that's kind of interesting. But I wouldn't say that's a material change. It's still been the same people on the bill since, I think it's 1920s? 1929, I want to say, was the last time it was changed. They put...
And when Jackson took over for Grover Cleveland.
Yeah, on the 20. And interestingly enough, though, there's not a lot of prohibitions to actually changing it. Congress can... obviously change who's on the bill, but so can the, I believe this article said, so can the Secretary of the Treasury just, whenever that person wants to, they could potentially change who's on the bills. The only restriction is it has to be someone who's been dead for 2 years, I believe. It's a similar restriction for U.S. stamps. I'm not exactly sure why we have to wait for them to die, but it isn't necessarily a president, right? So that's why Ben Franklin is on those hundreds. Again, supposedly, I've yet to actually see one, maybe.
No, you want them to wait to be dead so they don't go on doing stupid shit and then you've got them on your money.
Although, that's one of the arguments about having Jackson on the 20 is that... Or I'm sorry, Jackson. Jefferson. I got that. Right? Am I doing that right? Yeah. The whole Trail of Tears thing was...
That's Jackson.
Jackson. So it was Jackson. See, yeah. I don't even know who's on my money. It's like ridiculous.
You don't even see 20s? They need to pay you more, Al. Yeah. Actually, wait, no. Go to an ATM. That's pretty much what they give you.
Okay. All right. And so yeah, Andrew Jackson... Right. Did a bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah. Trail of Tears kind of overshadowed.
Yeah, but they knew about that when they made him put him on the money. that didn't seem to bother as many people back then for some reason.
Yeah, unfortunately. It probably should have bothered
more
people. But
that's why he's a good candidate to replace.
Right. And so there's a movement now. It's on womenon20s.org. It's a movement to try and get... a woman on American money, which would be kind of interesting and fantastic. And the big push behind it is because in 2020, that's the anniversary of women's suffrage and the right to vote. So I think by starting 5 years in advance, it hopefully will get whatever public groundswell it needs, and also. To decide on who should be on the money, because that's also a big deal. It's like, I think we could probably agree to put someone else on that money, but how do we agree who that person is? I know for the But voting would be good. That would be great, actually. I know that we've had women on money before. Like there was a Susan B. Anthony dollar, which I don't think. I think I had one of those growing up, but I always had. I think it was the. Was it Kennedy on the other dollar coins?
Kennedy's on the 50 cent,
Oh, he's 50 cent. Okay. Who's the
which they
other?
should bring back.
Yeah. 50 cent is just the right size to do like coin tricks because it's like it's bigger than a quarter, but it's not so big as the dollar that it kind of, falls out of your hand. For those that do like coin tricks. But and then I know they did like a Sacagawea dollar when they were doing the gold dollar coins, which was then replaced by like didn't they make Washington gold coins? Actually, they made a bunch of them, right? They
We
made
make a lot of money.
yeah.
For a country that seems to be running out of money, we print a lot of money.
So I don't think it would be far-fetched. I don't think it would be a big deal to change out Andrew Jackson on the 20, mostly because I had already forgotten he was on the 20. But a small thing, I think. I mean,
Why do you have to put people on money? You could put something else.
yeah. I mean that was one of the things in money from other places is that you could put symbols of the country have to be even mildly interesting, right? I mean I know they have buildings on the back of a lot of the money, but something other than a building would be nice. How about an automobile, right? What other kind of object is so American than the car that was invented, by Henry Ford.
Or a gun.
It couldn't be like an AK-47 because that's like a Russian
No,
gun.
like a Colt 1911.
Yeah. The
Winchester repeater rifle. It would, well, I don't know, that's basically like having Andrew Jackson on the bill. Like this, both these things, they killed a lot of Indians.
Yeah.
That's not the message we want.
Maybe like covered wagon, right? And you have kind of the expansion kind of thing,
Or
without
what if you made
necessarily.
bills educational? You could put like parts of the periodic table of elements on the bills. Or fun, like a Snapple cap. You get fun facts.
Fun facts on your money. I like it.
So while somebody's snorting cocaine with it, when they unfold it or unroll it, they'll learn something new.
It's like the little comics in with Bazooka Joe, right?
Yeah. Why not do that? Yeah, little comics. Talk to Gary Larson and get him to approve making Far Side on the dollar bill or on bills.
Oh my gosh. I would totally totally get the Midvale School for the Gifted on the back of the one, so everyone gets that joke. Everyone still gets that joke, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No one can answer you except for me.
I trust you. You speak for the listeners.
I speak for the people. I'm like the Lorax of people.
Well, we already established last episode that you would be a great senator, right? Was that
Did
last
we?
episode? Was that
I
last episode or 2 episodes ago? Congressman, you're
don't know.
gonna.
Either way, yeah, that's right. I'm gonna run for Congress. I'm gonna need an assistant because my short-term memory is garbage.
We'll just use, tattoos and Polaroids. It'll be fine. It worked for that other
I'll be
guy.
the first memento senator.
I don't know. I mean, even that, I think having some record of what you do on your person
My record speaks for itself. Look, it's on my arm.
It might actually help, maybe. I don't know. Although I feel like you would still find a way to retcon it so you get out things. Well, moving from ways to kind of change open things to ways to keep secrets, which is probably another thing you'd need to do as a congressman, is
Not much, not during my administration.
an interesting thing from The Intercept, which is a website that collects data from people that want to. It's a whistleblower website, and so they have a number of ways to let people anonymously give information to them in a way that still protects their identity and enables them to keep connected to the data that they're giving away. And the way that they do this is they emphasize you should have like a really strong encryption algorithm. And so they went through and documented their favorite one, which is a model called Diceware, which I'd never heard of. It's based around using a passphrase instead of a password for authentication. And I'm a big fan of passphrases. I think they're interesting because they're a lot longer than passwords, which is kind of a problem, but because they're made of words, they're more easily remembered. And really, the only thing that makes a passphrase guessable is the is using or a password guessable is using words that are easily guessed or words from a sentence or some other system. And so a passphrase, a strong passphrase, can still be memorable if it's made of words that you know and understand, but by making them so they don't like make sense, it makes it a long passphrase. And essentially, the longer the passphrase, the longer the password that you're trying to set up, the harder it is to guess. Even if it is kind of dictionary based, it's just the because of the sheer number of different words there are, it's a lot harder to guess. And so the algorithm that they're talking about in order to do this is one called Diceware, where you roll dice essentially to get a bunch of random numbers, and then you look all of these numbers up in a table, and then that becomes your passphrase. And it's something that I'm gonna probably give a try to anyway. I'd like to see how memorable a six word, which is what they recommend, a six word passphrase could be if they're words that are just kind of essentially randomly picked out of a dictionary. I know I have a passphrase that I use for that I was using for PGP, my private key for that. But let me see how long is that? It's pretty good.
Why don't you tell us so we can count?
It's nine words. Yeah, and it's pretty it would be pretty difficult to guess, although it is a sentence. So it's probably something that I don't think it's guessable because it's I don't know, it's an interesting sentence. It's weird.
Wait, how many words?
Nine.
Nine?
Yeah. Uh-oh, what are you counting?
Man, that's really long. All hail Alan, master and ruler of the internet.
This is really awkward.
I get on the first guess?
I do capitalize all of the A's 'cause that's my first name. So, it makes it harder to guess, but wow, you got it. You got it.
Woo-hoo. All
But
right, everyone go log into Alan's stuff before he changes it.
I thought their method for passwords was actually really good. They use the I believe it's keep pass, which actually doesn't have a second P, so it just looks like keep ass. But that's fine. It makes it easy to remember because there's a built-in joke in it. But anyway, that they're using that password system because it's open source and it's I believe it's cloud-based and it's free and it's on multiple services, so it can be used to store your passwords. So you put passwords in that for like websites, but then you secure that whole system with the super difficult to guess randomly generated passphrase, and that is kind of a what is it, a belt and braces approach to password security. I still think that's a thing. Passwords are still a thing. We've talked about different ways of authentication, and I still don't like biometric stuff. Yes, I do use the Touch ID on my iPhone 5 5S, but I still think a good strong password is can go a long way. What do you think,
Yeah,
Brandon?
you protect yourself.
Do you use password managers? Have you ever used them?
No. No, I have a few different that I rotate through and I try and remember them and I'll usually get it within a few tries.
Right. I mean, they usually give you like three tries before it locks.
Yeah, as long as I can get it within that,
Yeah.
then I'm fine. But my passwords aren't overly complicated. I feel like most things I'm not that worried if it gets broken into.
Yeah, the it was
Except
really
my bank
interesting.
password, that's really complicated.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, so you add the six, and then they don't get it.
It was an interesting thing in the article talking about how you shouldn't use a computer to generate your random numbers because one of the things that that I remember learning in computer science is that even the random function in a computer is fallible from at least a pure math point of view. I mean, they're still based on discrete computing things. It's still based on ones and zeros, and it's still kind of coin flips. The randomness of a random number generated by a computer is not, I mean, it's not exactly random because of the ways that things work in circuits. Also, using a computer to generate a thing that you want to keep secret is kind of shady business. I think it's happened often enough that computers unfortunately can't be trustworthy as keepers of your secrets. So it's that's one of those things that has to be looked at. There was an interesting password story that came up last week also. I believe there was a bank or some financial website in that actually discouraged people from using password managers in that in their app that was or their website that let you log in. You couldn't paste a password into the password field. And when people complained, they said that, oh, well, you shouldn't use password managers, you should just memorize them. But the whole point of password managers is that you don't have to memorize them. And the reason that they're so popular is because password systems have gotten more and more kind of ridiculously complex in order to combat how easy it unfortunately is to guess a password. And so it's the kind of thing where having some mechanism for preventing password guessing, at least to some degree, right? Have a limit on the number of guesses you can make or something like that, like we were talking about earlier, or just having crazy good security on the back end, because your password could be reverse engineered potentially from the password store that where it's held. That's actually one of the things that that is often exposed when logins are stolen from a place, which unfortunately happens common enough that I can even just talk about that without explaining what's happening. The thing that's happening is a number of files are stolen from these authentication websites, and among those are the key files of passwords. And it's not the actual password, it's the password that's encrypted. But once you guess like one of them, you can reverse engineer that encryption method and get out the list of passwords. So
one key to rule them all.
Right. Picking a good password is real important. So do your best to do that.
Or don't.
Well, don't if you're going to be on a website that I am going to be keeping my data on. Which is unfortunately too many of them. I think losing passwords and having that come back to bite you in the form of identity theft is on the rise. And so finding ways to combat that, both from a legislative point of view and from a information kind of integrity point of view, I think is real important. Also real important is something that California has a distinction for this year, and it's not the drought, although it is sort of related.
Yeah, they're connected.
Yeah, the one big thing that came out of California this last year was that California leads the nation in the number of megawatts of electricity generated from solar power. It's no surprise that sunny California gets a lot of sun. It's in the nickname. So harnessing that and turning it into electricity to the tune of 4,300 megawatts was the number in 2014, I believe, that was released by this survey. What was really crazy was that, you know, California is a really big state, and it has a lot of land that's available for living and for agriculture and for housing and for electricity generating. One of the stories that we'd talked about on an earlier podcast was the solar tower in the Mojave Desert that was frying birds because of it essentially is this array of mirrors that that focus the sunlight into a thing to generate heat, and then that heat is used to run a turbine to generate electricity. And apparently, if a bird flies in front of that beam of focused sunlight, it will kill that bird, unfortunately. So there's a lot of solar power in California, but I was not prepared for the difference between number one and number two, or in fact the rest of the field. Let's see, it was 4,300 megawatts for California, and the second best was it wasn't
North Carolina.
Yeah, at 396 megawatts, so a factor of 10, which is amazing. In fact, I think if you added up all of the rest of the top 10, it's still less than the 4,300 that that California generates.
California is to solar energy in America as America is to military power in the world.
It's an interesting analogy. I like it. California. It's great. I don't have solar power yet. My mother-in-law does, and she has seen her meter run backwards. I think that's kind of cool. Or at least until they replaced it with the electric or the digital smart meter where you can't actually see anything moving. But no, I think that's it's really good, especially in light of, I think it was today, the Obama administration released their plan for reducing carbon emissions and otherwise trying to stem the tide of climate change. There's a consortium to kind of pull together all of the different countries to commit to what they'll do to reduce emissions. And it's mostly the statement today was mostly formalizing some of the stuff that was agreed upon with China. There was this kind of, you know, sort of a big deal agreement saying that the U.S. and China would try and reduce the greenhouse gases by, I think it was like, it was a very modest number, but in theory it would try and limit the increase in ocean temperatures by or to 2 degrees per some amount of time, and it's, you know, the impact of humanity on that, I think, is starting to kind of be a big deal finally on a world stage. I'm hoping it's in time. California's drought situation is any indication, it may not be, but hopefully we're not all Mad Max just yet. Although that trailer was really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, watch the new Mad Max trailer.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're gonna stay kind of on topic, on target here. The next story we're talking about is some interesting news out of the dark web, the dark net. I don't know what is the good term for that. The internet that doesn't have the word dark in it. I feel like we had talked about that earlier, and it
the just, deep web.
Oh, deep web. That's pretty good. I like that. Okay, so
that's not one I came up with. That's just another name for it.
Oh, okay. All right. I was gonna give you props for that. That was great.
And if I was being an internet jackass, I would have taken credit.
You could be internet famous for a little while anyway, right? For as famous as our podcast is, let's just say.
So not that famous.
But in the deep web, and we've talked about it before, there are a lot of different marketplaces for various things. Among them is illegal drugs. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, you're doing this as anonymously as you can, in theory, because it's illegal, and so you're using the deep web to do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting products of any kind of quality. And so it's not quality from a, like, wow, this is real good. It's more like, wow, this won't, like, horribly kill me if I have it. So there was a project that was undertaken by a doctor who calls himself Dr. X, which I don't know. I think it's great. I guess Professor X was taken, but Dr. X,
it's like Mr. F. Dr. X.
So he has a no questions asked, send me or essentially buy me the drugs that you are thinking about buying, and I will send you a PDF detailing all of the substances that you actually would have bought. And there's some small fee, but He's using the fees to offset his paying his staff and the lab costs and all of the testing facility stuff. He's located in I believe it's Spain, and they do testing of drugs that that are available online from a bunch of different systems, and he did it 100% from the idea of harm reduction, which we've talked about in the past, and it's a thing. It's saying that people are going to do bad things, but they don't deserve to die or be horribly disfigured for those things. And so putting out a service where he can test things for people, you know, was his thing, which I think is great. I mean, a lot of and he's not doing it from a marketing point of view. Like, the drug dealers aren't going to him and saying, can you test my stuff so I can say I'm certified? It's wholly from the consumer end, to keep those dealers honest. And I think it's interesting. It's a way that, it kind of polices the system, at least from a quality control point of view, if not from an actual health point of view. His operation does kind of give information to the I believe it's the Spanish police forces and drug enforcement agencies in order to say that these drugs are existing in the world, they're potentially entering countries, and I think that helps inform them. Even the Spanish government is not cracking down on them as a service because they see the utility in both getting that information and then giving that information to or giving information to consumers regarding what they're buying. And it reminds me of the website, and I think they may have changed their name, but it used to be called VCDQuality.com. Do you remember that?
Have you heard
of it? Or it was like, I think they changed their name to like video, maybe it's not video quality. I don't remember what they are, but they, VCDs, and I'm showing my age here, this is one of those, it was a file format for movies that were pirated on the internet, and VCD quality, what they did was they would take the video files that people had been putting out on the internet and saying, oh, this is whatever this movie is. And they would take screenshots from random points in the film and put them up so you could see the quality of the video, and then, or even put a preview of the video up on online and then have a comment thread for the quality of how it was, and try and expose by digging into the metadata for the file, like who or the name of the video ripping group that would release it, and have all the kind of stats about that, and how good of their ratings were in the past. And it's an interesting thing how, like, systems can police themselves. I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but I think there is like a genuine kind of want of like good quality things. And so setting up systems for that, even in illegal or even just questionable kind of systems, is still a thing. No one
quality
likes to
control.
Get,
yeah, it's a thing.
No one likes to get shafted is what we're trying to say. But
you're damn right.
But I don't know if the drugs, I believe the drugs, I mean, they're essentially recreational illegal drugs, but one of a drug that was tested out, not by Dr. X, but by a different group, was tested out, and it isn't necessarily recreational, but it does some interesting things, which it increases your night vision. And this drug increases your night vision by doing some stuff that changes, how your retina works, But there are two very novel things about this. First of all, it has to be delivered to your eye via an injection, which sounds really horrible.
All the best things come to your eyes through injections.
And the second aspect of it is it looks like it makes your eye completely black, at least temporarily. And it seems to only be a temporary effect. But I saw this and I immediately was like, this is Riddick. They're just one step away from making pitch black on this thing.
You keep what you kill.
So the chemical that they inject into your eye will turn like your eyeball black for some small period of time, and it increases your night vision capacity. Night vision works by your I can never remember if it's rods or cones. I think it's rods because cones is color and rods are black and white, and so the rods and cones that make up your retina and the ability to see and discern things has more cones in the kind of center of your vision and more rods on the outsides of your vision. And that's why when you're looking at something, generally you get a lot of sharpness, but you see motion out of the corner of your eye better, because the black and white kinds of things, which will determine contrast, are better on the outsides. And there's all sorts of evolutionary reasons for this. But what the reaction is when they do this is it beefs up your cones, which means you can see things, but they end up not being very sharp, at least in this first set of iterations of testing it.
And you want beefy cones and rocks.
And I think this is a really interesting thing, and it's really good of the people, the scientists involved, if they're indeed scientists or not just people that decided to inject stuff into their eyes in order to test it out. I think it's novel of them to test it on themselves so they don't, horribly blind anybody else. But it's... I don't know. Is this something you would do, Brandon, to get night vision?
Maybe in like 10 years. Don't ever be the first one to do anything.
Right. Don't be first mouse. First mouse, no. Not a thing.
Yeah, be the first one to think of an idea and then test it on somebody else.
Right. I think night vision, I know, is a problem for me. I've always struggled with it. And it was really funny because... My sister, when I was growing up, my mom would always say, eat a lot of carrots. It's good for your vision. Eat a lot of carrots. It's good for your vision. And I hated carrots and I just wouldn't eat them. And my sister ate them all the time, all the live long day. And she had, really bad, nearsightedness. So, and whereas I don't wear glasses or contacts, and it's fine. And so I'm like, ha ha, that's silly. Carrots don't mean anything. Turns out carrots are really good, or the things in carrots are really good for night vision. And I can't see worth a damn in the dark. So I should probably
that's
eat some carrots.
What we light for.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So your choices are eat carrots, get stuff injected into your eyeball that turns it black, or flashlights. And
I'll stick with flashlights.
I choose flashlights. Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Burr has a great bit. I think it's in his newest comedy special where he talks about the people his last one, when he's talking about the people who get plastic surgery.
Uh huh.
And how they still haven't figured out plastic surgery.
Yeah.
People say, "Oh, I wish I'd gotten hair plugs 10 years ago." Says, no, you don't. You look at people who got hair plugs 10 years ago, it looked brutal.
That's true. Continuous improvement. We'll get it on the next round. And maybe
And Bill Burr, definitely a thing. Listen to watch his stand-up. He's killing it.
Okay. Well, we're gonna put this one to bed, I think. Or to nap time. Hopefully it doesn't rise up in the meantime, but keep listening to the show. Keep sending us ideas, tweeting at us. Maybe we'll get you on the air real soon. It'd be nice. Maybe send us a $100 bill or something so I can finally see one. That'd be cool.
No. Send it to me, and I'll send you a picture.
Awesome, man. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Until next time, Alex.